Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us now our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We often call this the Lord's Prayer. There's been quite a pushback in scholarship recently, not to call it the Lord's Prayer, but instead to call it the disciples' prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples. We see there in Luke chapter 11 in verse 1 that the disciples see Jesus praying, and one of the disciples, we don't know which one, speaks up and says, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John did for his disciples." Now, the disciples certainly knew how to pray. They were Jews. They would have been taught many prayers and memorized many prayers from the Scriptures. However, they wanted Jesus to teach them how to pray, just like John's disciples had taught his disciples to pray. In other words, what the disciples wanted was that when they prayed, that people were to identify him as disciples of Jesus Christ. Just like when John's disciples prayed, and they prayed, and people said, "Those are John the Baptist. That's their disciples." These disciples wanted to be identified with Jesus by how they prayed. I believe today that by how we pray, we show whether we are Jesus' disciples or not. And as we look at this prayer, we're going to see how we can pray just like disciples and followers of Jesus. However, when we come to this prayer, we need to realize that this prayer is not meant to be repeated word for word. It's not meant to be repeated verbatim. In fact, there in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, it has this phrase, "when" or "whenever." And what the grammarians say, the scholars, the commentators say about this phrase is that this is kind of given the connotation that when you pray, it's not really about saying it word for word, but it's about the manner in which we approach God. And so as we approach God, this prayer is a teaching tool for us to know how to approach the Lord of heaven and earth, how to go to God in prayer. And as we look at this prayer in the coming months, I want this prayer to do two things for us. First of all, this prayer should help us to pray like disciples of Christ. It should help us to know how to approach God, and I hope through this series we can learn a little bit more of how we should approach our God as we go to Him in prayer. But also, I believe this prayer should be lived out. That it's not just meant to be prayed, but it's supposed to be seen in our lives. We see this throughout the Scripture, that our prayer lives and our daily lives should complement each other. I don't believe you can genuinely say this prayer and then go and live according to the world or according to your own desires. If you genuinely say this prayer from the heart, you're going to want to go and do the will of God and to live out the will of God each day of your lives. And so as we come to this prayer, we're going to be looking at the one in Matthew chapter 6. If you want to go ahead and turn there, Matthew chapter 6. There are two versions of this prayer, which also lends itself to not repeating it verbatim, exactly word for word. And the one in Matthew 6 is a little bit longer than the one in Luke 11. Luke 11 was Jesus teaching his personal disciples. And Matthew chapter 6 is Jesus teaching those who are listening to him there on the Sermon on the Mount. And as Jesus begins this prayer, he starts off by addressing God as Father. He says, "Our Father." Now, this was not something new to the Jews. We find in the Old Testament that God is identified as Father many times. We see that He is the Father of the Israelites. The Israelites were children of God. And there in Isaiah 63, verse 16, as well as 64:8, Isaiah says, "For you are our Father." And so the Jews knew God as Father already. Also, we see in the Old Testament that God was a father to the fatherless, as it says there in Psalm 68 and verse 5. So they would have understood who he was referring to when he says, "our Father." However, when you compare what the Jews said about God as Father compared to what Jesus in the New Testament said about the Father is really no comparison. We find 21 times in the Old Testament that God is identified as Father, but when it comes to the New Testament, 255 times God is identified as Father. And a lot of times that is Jesus as the Son relating his intimate relationship with the Father, relating how God had sent him as a Son to do his will here on earth. And now we know that if we know the Son, then we also know the Father. The Son came to reveal the Father to us. Now, as we look at this idea of God being our Father, there's a lot of discussion behind what word Jesus used as he used this word Father. Now, in the Greek, it's the word pater, but Jesus likely did not speak in Greek his whole life. He likely spoke in a language called Aramaic. And the Aramaic word for Father is the word Abba. And we have it in several of our songs, and we're going to see we have it a few times in our Bible. Now, a lot of people, when it comes to this word Abba, they want to make it the designation, like we do when we're very little and we look up to our dad and we say, Daddy. They want to make it a very informal word for God. However, what we find, according to the lexicons that we have now and the research they've done of the first century, is that this word Abba was not used for that word daddy in the first century. It wasn't until centuries later that people started to use Abba as meaning daddy. So, but in the really, when we look at it, we don't even know if that's the word Jesus used in the first place. We don't know if he used the word Abba or Potter or Pater or whatever it may be. We don't know what he used, but he identified God as his Father. Now, when we think about this word Abba, it has significance to us because we find it a few times in our New Testaments. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 15, Paul speaks to the Christians there in Rome who were going through persecution. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Then flip with me over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. In verse 6, Paul says this, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So here are two times we see Paul using this as a way to designate how we can call to God, how we can speak to God. I believe Paul is using the phrase it kind of in the same way that Jesus was using the phrase, because we find one instance in Mark chapter 14 where Jesus used that phrase at a very intimate time when he went to the Father. And it's there in Mark chapter 4 in verse 36 where he says there in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." So here we see Jesus addressing God as Abba, Father. I believe Paul followed suit and told these Christians, both in Galatia and there in Rome, that when you approach God, you can approach God in the same way that Jesus does. That you have the same access to God when you go before Him in prayer. That He will listen to you just like He listened to Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, and that He will hear our prayers, and if it's according to His will, that He will grant our request. And we see that here in our phrase, here in the Lord's Prayer, with this phrase, "Our Father." Notice He didn't say, "My Father," or "Your Father." He says, "Our Father." And so we, when we are adopted by Jesus Christ into the family of God, we have a special status as God's family. That we are in a standing just like Jesus to go before the Father and address Him with our prayers. We see there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 that we are called co-heirs with Christ. And just as Jesus, in His maybe hardest moment here on earth, as He was going before God in prayer there at Gethsemane, and just as He went to God in His time of need, we can do the same thing. That we as sons and daughters of God can go before our Lord just like Jesus. While our relationship will never be exactly the same as Jesus having with the Father, we still have confidence that we have a relationship with Him, a strong relationship, that we can go before Him as our Father, and that He will hear us, and that He will respond to us by the requests that we make. And since we know that we can approach God as our Father, Abba Father, just like Jesus, what that should do is give us confidence in our prayers. Look there at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. The Hebrew writer writes this. He says there, "Let us then, with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so we can have that confidence that as we go before the Father, that the Father wants the best thing for us. We can have confidence, just like Jesus had confidence, that God would hear Him in His prayer. And that if there was anything that He could do, He would do it for Him. Also, we have confidence as Him being our Father, that we can go to Him at any time. I think all of us who are parents want to be available for our kids. That when they are truly in need, that we want to be there to help them. No matter if it's in the middle of the night, we want to be there for them. The thing is about God as our Father is He is much more available to us than our own parents, because us as parents have work to do and things to do around the house and whatever it may be. But God is always there. He's always present. And He's always wanting to hear from us. He wants to hear from us, and He wants to hear our requests that we have before Him. Look there in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. This is in the context of prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, and so forth. It says there in verse 11, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Here again, there's that requirement of asking Him. See, God knows all of our needs before we even form it on our tongue. However, He wants to hear from us. He wants us to ask for things, and He is more than willing to give us good gifts if it's according to His will. But also we know that when we approach God as our Father, that we don't have to try and invoke His name by using all kinds of phrases and words and everything just to get His attention. Sometimes our kids do that, right? That when we're working on something and they're like, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 Daddy," right? Sometimes that can get pretty irritating. But God He's not like that. Whenever we say to Him, our Father, He turns to us and He addresses our need right then and right there. He listens to us. There in Matthew chapter 6, right before Jesus goes into this Lord's Prayer, we see a comparison of God the Father with those who were pagans and worshiped these false gods in the pantheon of gods. And this is what He says in verses 7 through 9. He says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." For the pagans, for the worshippers of these false gods, they had to come up with all these different words and phrases and maybe even a potion and saying some words over a potion, whatever it may be, right? All these formulas to get God's attention. We kind of see this back in the Old Testament with Mount Carmel, where we had this duel between Elijah and these prophets of Baal and Asheroth. They're trying any way, even cutting themselves, in order for God, their gods, to come through for them and to light that altar on fire. But the thing is, with our God, is that we don't have to worry whether He's listening or not, whether He's going to respond or not. We know that if we address Him as Father, that He will listen to us. That through the work of Jesus Christ, that we have that special relationship with Him, just as Jesus did on this earth. That when we turn to Him and ask Him for what we need, that He will listen. We don't have to try and impress Him by our words and to invoke His name somehow through that. But He will listen to us when we go to Him as our Father. And finally, as we call God Father, I think what it does is it gives us confidence that He listens to us even when He does not answer yes. Even when He doesn't work with our timing and He works in His own timing. Because what we see with Jesus is even though Jesus addressed God as Abba Father, there in the garden, God said no. He said no to Jesus' request, his prayer. And we have to trust that as He is our Father, He's only going to do what is best for us. That He's only going to give us what is good for Him and His name and His glory in all the earth. And we have to trust Him, to trust Him that what He says is really what's in our best interest. And so as we call God as Father, it gives us this confidence. It gives us this intimacy, this closeness with Him. That when we go to Him, that we know He'll listen. We know that He'll respond. Even if He might respond no sometimes. That He listens to us as our Father. Now just because God is called Father, I think we need to make sure that we are very careful that we don't get too casual when it comes to God. We've heard in our society many different phrases for God, like the big guy or the man upstairs. I think those designations for God are not very respectful. And I think even the word daddy in reference to God is kind of there at that line where I don't think that's necessarily giving God the respect that is due to Him. We see this in this prayer that Jesus balances out. He says, our Father. He talks about this intimacy, this closeness with our God, that we can go to Him at any time, just as Jesus did. But then He follows it up by says, our Father who is in heaven. Now we know in our day-to-day life that where we reside says something about you. Here in Poplar Bluff, we've got a place in town called Pill Hill, right? Y'all have heard of that before, right? It's where people who are doctors and so forth live, kind of up there behind Palace of Praise. And if you live in that area, usually that says something about you, that you are maybe well-educated. It might say that you have a lot of money or that you're powerful, whatever it may be. I have a powerful influence in the community. We also know in our country that if you live in the White House, it says something about you. It says that you have probably the most power in all the world, other than God, obviously, but as a man. And so where you reside says a lot about you. And here, Jesus says, God resides, our Father resides in heaven. Not only can He listen to us and cares about us and wants to do good things for us, but also He's in a position of power. He is reigning on high, on the throne, there with the heavenly hosts in heaven. He is able and in a position to have great power over our lives. And because of His position, because of His power, what should happen in our lives is that it should allow us to have great humility before Him, understanding how high He is above us and how much power He has. So as we go before Him, we have great humility. We also have great reverence and respect for who He is. And Jesus continues that theme on here in this next phrase where He says, holy or hallowed be your name. This is a prayer here, a request before God for God's name to be respected and revered as holy. Now the word holy just means set apart. And God is set apart in a few different ways. He's set apart in His nature and that He is all powerful, that He is all knowing, that He is eternal. He has, you know, compared to us as humans, He is way far above us. And at the same time, He is holy in His character, meaning He does not sin, He does not lie, He does not tempt us with evil, that He's always going to keep His word. He is holy in His character as well. And so as we go before God and address Him, we should have that respect that He is wholly different than we are. that He is holy, and so many times we are not holy. Again, that gives us humility, but it also gives us respect and reverence for the God who is in heaven, our Father who is in heaven. And I think maybe a good analogy of balancing these two things, of yes, He's close, yes, He's near, yes, He is intimate, along with He is so high above us. He is in this position of power. He is holy, and His name is holy. I think the best way is this analogy I found this week, where it was a man who was in the military, and he had served under this sergeant for many, many years. And as he served under this sergeant, he got really close to him, and they had a very personal relationship, and this sergeant always had an open-door policy. And this guy serving under the sergeant always felt like he could go to that sergeant and tell him whatever he had on his heart, to pour out his heart and tell him a lot of personal things, but also tell him his wants, his desires, what he would like to see for their company of soldiers. And the sergeant was more than willing to have that open door policy and to hear him and to listen to him. And if it was best, what he saw best for the company, that he would actually do it for that person. However, at the same time, this person who was writing this says, even though I felt very close to him, at the same time, when I walked into that room, I didn't just casually walk in, call him pal, and put my feet up on his coffee table. He says, that's not what I did. When I came in, by my posture, by my words, by the way I greeted him, the way I said goodbye, all of that showed that I respected him. I respected his position. I respected the position, the power that he had. And I think that's the same way it is before God, that yes, He is our Father. We should feel close to Him. We should feel like we can have confidence to go before Him at any time, just like we do our earthly Father. At the same time, there's this reverence, this respect that we come before God, realizing that He is so high above us and that He is meant to be revered. And I believe if we have this attitude, if we have this way, this manner of approaching God in this way, I believe what it will do is it will set the tone of our prayers. Many of those who play sports or watch sports, you know the idea of setting the tone. I often hear it when it comes to football with the first big hit, right? That someone comes and just bulldozes someone else, and it tells both teams, it tells them that this is going to be a hard-fought game, that this is going to be a tough slugfest between the two teams. So that first hit, it sets the tone for the rest of the game. And I believe as we begin our prayer, this first part of our prayer, it really sets the tone for our prayers. And when we come to God, we understand we come before someone who is benevolent. We come before someone who cares for us, someone who wants the best for us. At the same time, when we come before Him, we realize that He is so high above us, that He is the King of all the universe, which is great for us, right, when we make requests before Him, because He has all the power in the world that He can actually fulfill our request. He can actually do something about the request that we have. At the same time, as we go to Him as the holy and heavenly Father, we realize as we prayed, holy is His name, that it's not about us. It's not about our wishes, but ultimately, it's about the name of our Lord. It's about the name of God. And we should go before Him with great reverence. We should go before Him with great respect, honoring Him for who He is. And I believe that affects how we continue in our prayer, that we realize it's all about His name, not about me, but all about His name and Him getting the glory in the end. So I believe, first of all, that it sets the tone in our prayer life as we humbly come before our Father. But also I believe it sets the tone in our daily lives. That when we view Jesus, when we view, God as our Father, that what that does for us is it makes it where, as we go about our day-to-day life, that we do not want to disappoint our Father. And we don't want to lose that access that we have with Him. I know for some of us who are kids, we've maybe thought through this before, that Maybe the worst thing that we can hear our parents say to us is, I'm disappointed in you. Me and a couple friends several years back talked about that we would much rather be grounded for like a whole month or be locked up in a castle or something. You know, do something like that, Mom and Dad, but don't tell me you're disappointed with me. We don't like to disappoint our parents. In the same way, when we view God as our Father, that He really, genuinely wants the best for us, we should live a life that honors Him. We should live a life that brings honor to His name. We should live a life in obedience to Him because He is our Father, and we certainly don't want to disappoint Him. But also, as we pray, Holy is Your name, this is a request that God's name will be respected all across the world. And if we pray that request, we have to realize if we really want that to come true, it has to start with us. If we pray, Holy be Your name, then we in our own lives need to make sure that we are living holy lives, set apart from the world, that we're living lives with the character that we see in Jesus, and that by our actions, by our words, by how we live our lives, that people will respect and revere God because of that. And they will look at our lives and think something good about God. So I encourage you, as we look at this first part of the prayer, our Father who is in heaven, holy be Your name, that as we approach God, we will approach Him as a Father. We will approach Him as the Holy One who reigns in heaven, our holy heavenly Father. And I hope that sets the tone for our prayer life through this week and also our daily lives as we try to obey our Father and try to bring glory and honor and respect to His name. Let's pray to God. Our Father, we are so grateful that we can come to You just as Jesus came to You here on this earth. That we have the Spirit within us crying, Abba, Father, because we are Your children and You love us. And You want to hear from us. And You're never busy, too busy to listen to us. You want good things for our lives. Help us always to remember that when we pray before You, that we are praying before someone that genuinely cares for us. And help us, Lord, to remember that we can approach You with confidence, knowing that You will listen, and that You care for us so deeply, and that You want to hear from each one of us. And as we pray to You as our Father, we realize that You are in heaven, that You are in a place of power, that You are in a position so high above us. And we humble ourselves before You because You are the King of all. And we are so grateful that not only do You care about us and will listen to our requests, but You have real power to grant us our requests. And as we pray before You, Lord, we pray that Your name may be holy, that Your name will be respected in all of the earth. We pray, Lord, that as we come before You, we realize that it's not about our name. It's not about our wants. It's about You. And help us, Lord, to be selfless in our prayers and to be God-centered in our prayers. And as we pray for You to be holy across the earth, we pray, Lord, that You will be holy in our lives, that Your name will be exalted by the way we live each day, and that people will come to know You because we are living holy lives, that we're trying to be holy as You are holy. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe there's someone this evening that needs to respond to the invitation. Become a child of God. That's such a precious position to have before God, to be a child of God. And if you want to come and make Him the Lord of your life, we would love to help you out with that. Or maybe there's someone here that needs to get back that connection with our God. Maybe you have turned your back on Him and have not lived a holy life. And we would love to help you to be able to approach God with confidence once again. Maybe someone is dealing with that this evening. Or maybe you're just dealing with some struggles in life, and we would love to pray with you if you'd let us. If you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.